Chapter 5, in which Jared reads a book and sets a trap. Mallory and Simon were out on the lawn fencing when Jared found them. Mallory's ponytail stuck out the back of her fencing helmet, and Jared could see that it was shorter than it had once been. She was apparently trying to make up for her earlier weakness by ruthless fencing. Simon couldn't seem to get a strike in at all. He was being backed against the side of the broken-down carriage house, his parries becoming increasingly desperate. "I found something," Jared called. Simon turned his helmeted head. Mallory took that opportunity to strike, pushing the rubber tip of her fencing foil against his chest. "That's 3-0, Mallory said. "I creamed you." "You cheated," he complained. "You allowed yourself to become distracted," Mallory countered. Simon pulled the helmet off his head, flung it down, and looked at Jared. "Thanks a lot."
"Sorry," Jared said automatically.
"You're the one that always fences with her. I just came out here to catch tadpoles," Simon scowled.
"Well, I was busy. Just because I don't have a bunch of dumb animals to take care of doesn't mean I can't be busy," Jared shot back.
"Just shut up, both of you." Mallory took off her own helmet. Her face was flushed.
"What did you find?"
Jared tried to recapture some of his earlier excitement. "A book in the attic. It's about fairies, real fairies. Look, they're ugly." Mallory took the book out of his hands and looked it over.
"This is baby stuff. A storybook."
"It's not," Jared said defensively. "It's a field guide. You know, like for birds, so you know how to spot the different kinds."
"You think a fairy tied my hair to my bed?" Mallory asked.
"Mom thinks you did. She thinks you've been acting weird ever since Dad left, like getting into all those fights at school." Simon didn't say anything.
"But you don't think that," Jared hoped she would agree. "And you always get into fights."
Mallory took a deep breath. "I don't think you're stupid enough to have done it," she said, holding up a fist to show what she was going to do to whatever had. "But I don't think it was fairies either."
Over dinner, their mother was oddly quiet as she slid chicken and mashed potatoes under their plates. Mallory wasn't talking that much either, but Simon was going on and on about the tadpoles he had found and how they were going to be frogs in no time because they already had little arms. Jared had seen them. They had a long way to go. What Simon called arms looked a lot more like fish zits.
"Mom," Jared said finally, "do we have a relative named Arthur?"
Their mother looked up suspiciously from her dinner.
"No, I don't think so.
Why do you ask?"
"I was just wondering," Jared mumbled.
"What about Spiderwick?"
"That's your great Aunt Lucinda's surname," his mother said. "It was my mother's maiden name. Maybe Arthur was one of her relatives. Now, tell me why you want to know all this."
"I just found some of his stuff in the attic, that's all," Jared said.
"In the attic?" His mother almost spilled her iced tea. "Jared Grace, as you know, half of the entire second floor is so rotted that if you step wrong, you'll find yourself in the downstairs parlor."
"I stayed on the safe side," Jared protested.
"We don't know if there is a safe side in the attic. I don't want anyone playing up there, especially you," she said, looking right at Jared. He bit his lip. "Especially you." Jared didn't say a thing for the rest of dinner.
"Are you going to read that all night?" Simon asked. He was sitting on his side of the room. Jeffrey and Lemon Drop were running around on the comforter, and his new tadpoles were set up in one of the fish tanks.
"So what if I do?" Jared asked.
With each crumbling page, Jared was learning strange facts. Could there really be brownies in his house? Pixies in his yard? Nixies in the stream out back? The book made them so real. He didn't want to talk to anyone right now, not even Simon. He just wanted to keep reading.
"I don't know," Simon said. "I thought maybe you'd be bored by now. You don't usually like to read."
Jared looked up and blinked. It was true. Simon was the reader. Jared mostly just got into trouble. He turned a page. "I can read if I want to." Simon yawned. "Are you worried about falling asleep? I mean, about what might happen tonight?" "Look at this." Jared flipped to a page close to the front.
There's this fairy called a brownie. Like Girl Scouts? I don't know, Jared said. Like this. Look. He pushed the page in front of Simon. On the yellowed paper was an ink drawing of a little man, posed with a feather duster made from a badminton birdie and a straight pin. Next to it was a hunched figure, also small, but this one held a piece of broken glass. What's with that? Simon pointed to the second figure, intrigued, despite himself. This Arthur guy says it's a boggart. See, brownies are these helpful guys, but then if you make them mad, they go crazy. They start doing all these bad things and you can't stop them. Then they become boggarts. That's what I think we have. You think we made it mad by messing up its house? Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it was kind of wacky before that. I mean, look at this guy. Jared pointed to the brownie. He's not the type to live in a skeevy house decorated with dead bugs. Simon nodded, looking at the pictures. Since you found the book in this house, he said, do you think that this is a picture of our boggart? I never thought of that, Jared said quietly. It makes sense, though. Does it say in the book what we should do? Jared shook his head. It talks about different ways to catch it, not catch it for real, but see it, or get evidence. Jared, Simon sounded doubtful. Mom said to close the door and stay in here. The last thing she needs is another reason to believe that you were the one that attacked Mallory. But she thinks it was me anyway. If something happens tonight, she'll think it was me too. She won't. I'll tell her you were here all night, and besides, that way we can make sure nothing happens to either one of us. What about Mallory? Jared asked. Simon shrugged. I saw her getting into bed with one of her fencing swords. I wouldn't mess with her. Yeah. Jared got into bed and opened the book again. I'm just going to read a little more. Simon nodded and got up to put the mice back in their tanks. Then he got into bed and pulled the covers over his head with a mumbled, "Good night." As Jared read, each page took him deeper into the strange world of forest and stream, alive with creatures that seemed so close that he could almost stroke the slick, scaly flanks of the mermaids. He could almost feel the heat of the troll's breath and hear the rumble of the dwarven forges. When he turned the last page, it was late at night. Simon was bundled up so that Jared could see only the top of his head. Jared listened hard, but the only sounds in the house were the wind whistling through the roof above them and the water gurgling through the pipes. No scuttling or screaming. Even Simon's beasts were asleep. Jared flipped to the page that read, "Boggarts delight in tormenting those they once protected and will cause milk to sour, doors to slam, dogs to go lame, and other malicious mischief." Simon believed him, sort of anyway, but Mallory and their mom wouldn't. And besides, he and Simon were twins. It almost didn't count for anything that Simon believed him. Jared looked at the suggestion of the book. Scattering sugar or flour on the floor is one way of obtaining footprints. If he had footprints to show, then they'd have to believe him. Jared opened the door and crept downstairs. It was dark in the kitchen and everything was quiet. He tiptoed across the cool tile to where his mother had put the flour, in an old glass apothecary jar on the countertop. He took out several handfuls and scattered them liberally on the floor. It didn't look like much. He wasn't sure how well footprints would show up in it. Maybe the boggart wouldn't even walk across the kitchen floor. So far, it seemed to stick to moving through the walls. He thought about what he knew about boggarts from the book. Malicious, hateful, hard to get rid of. In their brownie form, they were helpful and nice. They did all kinds of work for a plain old bowl of milk. Maybe. Jared went over to the fridge and poured milk into a small saucer. Maybe if he left it out, the creature would be tempted to come out of the walls and leave footprints in the flour. But when he looked at the saucer of milk there on the floor, he couldn't help feeling a little bit bad and a little bit weird at the same time. In the first place, it was weird that he was down here setting a trap for something he didn't even know if he would have believed in 2 weeks ago. But the reason he felt bad was, well, he knew what it was like to be mad, and he knew how easy it was to get into a fight, even if you were really mad at someone else. And he thought that just maybe that was how the boggart felt. But then he noticed something else. He'd left footprints of his own in the flour, all the way from the milk back to the hall. Crud, he muttered as he went to get the broom. The light cracked on. Jared Grace? It was his mother's voice coming from the top of the stairs. Jared turned fast, but he knew how guilty he looked. Get back to bed, she said. I was just trying to catch, but she didn't let him finish. Now, mister, go. After he thought about it for a minute, he was glad she'd interrupted him. His boggart idea probably wouldn't have been a big hit. With a look back over his shoulder at the flour dusting the floor, Jared slunk up the stairs.